So I'm speaking with the painter, Jake Bartow, whose solo exhibition of new work at John Davis Gallery in Hudson opens next Thursday. Mr. Bartow, thank you for being on the show today.
And you're quite welcome.
And it's interesting. This is also my, you'll have to help me here. It's my first time as a radio host interviewing a painter. And so we're trying to translate the visual into the auditory, and that's going to be our challenge today for the interview. So thanks for bearing with me. And you have a set of works on paper that you're going to show. And I think the best way to maybe get our audience to understand a little bit is if you could read the very eloquent statement that you wrote for the press release that I got at the gallery. I think that would be a great way for us to start to get an understanding.
Okay. The title of the press release is Works on Paper, the Enamel Drawing. I recently returned to a technique informed I used in and through the mid-70s up into the late 80s, which was, with a spackling knife, I laid down on paper a sheet of enamel. I would then, in a kind of blindness, in parentheses, the painter is as if a blind man could, through touch, feel his way through a familiar, yet unknown terrain, and in feeling gain sight. Mark, scrape, on and into until the work, in work, would arrive at a found phenomenological oneness that was, in wholeness, an expressive merger of mark and material. What does this form, this way of working, have to do with my work as a whole? On one hand, nothing. On the other, everything. I quote the 18th century romantic poet John Keats, quote, "The capacity to be in or with doubt, mystery, and uncertainty, with an argumentative, without an argumentative reaching after fact or reason," end of quote.
And I just got to see the drawings over at John Davis Gallery, and I really think you did for someone who's primarily a visual artist, you did a wonderful job painting with words in that comment, because you really capture the feeling of these, because they sit somewhere between drawings and paintings, and I love that idea of uncertainty, mystery, and doubt. I mean, they seem relatively straightforward and simple when I first looked at them, but there are layers, and there's the surface is worked in a way that's really must be seen live compared to what I saw on the internet. They're wonderful. Can you talk about how you find them different than your paintings, and how you approach your paintings, which to me seem they're much kind of denser, these dense, luminous, darker pieces.
Well, I think that the best way to respond to that is that if one looks at my work, or looks at this work, and I can only talk as if people know what I do, which probably most people don't, which is that what I find, what interests me in visual arts is the experiential, which really goes against the grain of the mainstream of what's happened in art really since pop art, which is it's more like idea oriented rather than experientially ordered. So the feeling and the experience, like the unnameable experience, or call it spirit, or call it, it's really unnameable, is not in terms of style, because it's quite obvious that one as works with in and out of representation, where the work that's at the John Davis Gallery is really a work which the art writer in the 50s, Rosenberg, called homeless imagery. So in other words, when you look at, so I work until I find, with the enamel drawings, I work until I find that moment when I recognize something. Now I think that the human eye and the human mind wants to name things. So I'm looking at it and go, oh, that's a this, that's a this. And so that the enamel drawings, hopefully, are haunted in that way, that you look at it and go, oh, that's a, and as soon as you name it that, it'll deny being that.
That is actually the experience I had with a couple of them. Yeah.
The expressive presence in both my painting and in, and I also do in drawing, and I also do another kind of drawing. I do a drawing which is very systemic, in that I work with in pencil on paper, and I build it through a geometric foundation, so that I'll move in different ways, which in terms of style would appear to be very, very different, but in expression and presence, they're both the same, or they're all the same.
Yeah, I think that's what I found in these drawings, is that, right, the...
Yeah, the phone's really breaking up, so I'm going to have you talk a little louder.
Oh, okay. I wonder if my mic, if I, like I said, I'm doing this technological thing, which I've never done the phone interview to record. I don't know if... changing
okay,
these settings.
It's much better.
Does that help? Okay, I just turned my level up a little bit on the microphone.
Okay.
Well, that's, yeah, so I got that sense when I was looking at some of these works at John Davis that, right, that you kind of want to grasp at, you're looking for it to be something, and then you really have to abandon mm-hmm. that and let it just be itself. So that, when you talk about kind of beginning and letting it reveal itself, how long would it, I mean, these drawings have an immediacy to them, but they also have this kind of layered feeling that makes it feel like there's time passing.
It is a moment, and it could come in 15 seconds or 12 hours. And it's so that I'll, with heavy sticks of graphite, will mark and scrape into the surface of the enamel and then scrape it down, and then there's echoes and ghosts left over, which then I'll respond to. And it is, you know, the statement in the press release is that it is, and I do believe that the painter is like a blind man, and that is, it's in feeling. And this is for me. I'm not. Somebody else could be the totally exact opposite. But that the work is that sight is located through feeling, and the experiential. And the artists who I admire the most, I think, contemporary artists, would be like Mark Rothko.
Yes.
And I suppose Pollock, in something that's more in the phenomena of the work itself. In other words, it doesn't depict something, it is that thing. And that thing is not nameable.
Right. Okay, that's a wonderful description.
Kind of Adorno quote, which would be, art doesn't exist if spirit doesn't exist. And if spirit's nameable, it's no longer spirit.
Yeah, I can see that in the work, and I like that idea of, so it's not just a blind man, it's a blind person who's coming to a sightedness through this process.
Yeah.
Right.
In other words, I know, I know the terrain I'm in, and I know what it is, or I feel what it is I'm after, but I can only get there through experiencing that.
Mm. And now you, I think I mentioned this, that the idea of a quote that I read of yours is that the act of drawing requires a discipline and focus different from that of painting, and that the ideas that come out of the drawings you may apply to your paintings, and at times it's the other way around. How would you describe the difference?
Yeah, I think when the quote you're taking is would apply more to the work that I do, which I think is more, in terms of drawing, is more of study.
Yes.
In other words, it's like built on systemic, on geometry,
right.
Which I don't think really that it's more about building something. That quote, in relationship to painting, is more about building something rather than finding something. So I don't think that quote really is applicable to the work that's at the John Davis Gallery.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask. So these really don't, these are their own pieces that don't have a relationship, or they're not done in preparation for a painting, or...
No.
Right.
They could be in terms of expression and presence, but in terms of style or the way they look, I mean, they look entirely different. They look entirely different.
They really do.
Than my painting does. But I think that the experience of them and the feel of them is very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like in the quote, in the statement I said, on one hand, how did I put it? What does this form, this way of working, have to do with my work as a whole? On one hand, nothing. On the other, everything. So I'm looking for the same place in painting as I am with the enamel drawing.
Right, so you're starting in a brand new place, but you can't really leave yourself behind in that process. You're still approaching it.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can tell you how, like that. It's drawings that I did in the 60s, late 60s, into the 70s, 80s. And I always, it's always like a kind of safety valve for me. And it's when I get really hung up in painting that I get lost, or I'm just burn out, or whatever, is that I would do these enamel drawings, which is an entirely different way of working in terms of it's found rather than built. And I had a couple hanging in the studio, and I would look at them when I was like hung up in painting, and I'd go, geez, I used to really enjoy doing those. And one day it occurred to me, well, who said you had to stop? Because I hadn't done them in years. And so I did a group of them, and quite by existential accident, John Davis came to the studio, and I had no intention of showing these, or I didn't have, no, it wasn't with attention, it was just more or less the doing of them, and I was just simply going to put them away someplace. And he saw them and said, I'd like to show them, so that's how the show came about. But the drawings themselves, I hadn't done, I haven't worked that way in years. And now I've returned to it. And it's also something that I can't honestly do them unless I feel really burnt out with the painting. Like, I couldn't go to the studio now and make some enamel drawings. I'm not in that place.
I see.
And I have to be in a place to do something, to make something.
Well, yeah.
So, who knows? I might not do enamel drawings again until 2 years from now, or I might do them, next week. It kind of depends on what's happening in the life in the studio.
So, right. So, on a larger scale, you approach your work as a painter the same way you approach each one of the individual drawings as this. You're going to let it's going to dictate itself, and you're going to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you start something, when I start something, I'm the boss, saying this happens here, this happens here. How does this relate to this? How does this relate to that? And I work until I hit a point where my mind's not going to tell me that. My conception's not going to tell me that. The work itself is going to tell me that. And the work itself will tell me what to do. So it's like something that Milton Resnick said, which is, I'm the servant to the work. The work's not the servant to me.
Yes, so that there's a transition there from the start. That's an interesting shift.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
Well,
and in the painting, which is a very, very slow process, that is more built. Like, I build that more, and with the enamel drawings and the drawings that are John Davis, they're found. Mm. I find these images, and I work until I recognize something. That which I recognize has no name.
Right. That's fascinating. I think I could summarize that with another quote of yours that's a little more recent from 2012, where you talked about that you're interested in painting, not theory. And you say, I'm not interested in historical possibilities. It simply doesn't interest me. And that's not a hostile stance. That's a declaration of freedom. I choose to be free. And it does sound like there's a freedom to this, that you're going to allow things in your work to speak to you and draw you along lines, as opposed to having a preconceived notion. That comes through the work.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's good, 'cause that's exactly what I and I have no idea. I have no idea at all how I fit into the dialogue. When I was in New York before I moved upstate, I was a respected abstract painter, a non-representational painter. Coming out of minimalism, I was in a sense trying to humanize that. And then I moved up here, and it was like I was so overtaken by nature that my work became about living in nature.
Mm.
And, you know, when I was in New York, it was just getting up every day to the existential blank white wall. And now I'm living in my subject matter. Some people were really pissed off. I mean, a lot of abstract painters were just pissed off that it's like, what are you doing? And I'm a very easy target. And then some critics just say, well, I'm painting 19th century painting. I'm in terms of style and in terms of trend or fashion, I'm a very easy target. But yes, it is about, I declare my freedom. I'm free to do what I want to do.
Jake Berteau, I really want to encourage everybody to come out and see this show. And that, again, is going to be at the John Davis Gallery on Warren Street in Hudson. And that's johndavisgallery.com if you want to preview the work. But as you said, it's in the same way that you have an experiential relationship with your paintings, I really think this is work that needs to be experienced in person. And felt.
Yeah, I mean, I think art, if it's experiential, it's like I can look at a photograph or an image of someone, but I don't really know much about that person until I'm with that person. And looking at my work on the computer or through technology is not going to really tell you what the work looks like, but it doesn't tell you much about the spirit of the work.
Exactly.
So you really need to. And the nice thing about this show is, since they're enamel, they don't have to go under glass. So you know, it's got kind of a problem with drawing because it's under glass, so you have all that reflection and stuff to deal with. With these, they don't, because they can just get basically just tacked to the wall.
Yes, exactly. And you'll be there on the 27th, next Saturday.
27th, yeah.
Right, for the opening.
Yeah.
And,
the opening, I think, is 5 to 8, something like that.
5 to 8, right. Now, I'll be sure to, we'll be repeating that during our events calendar for the week, but I just want to thank you again for coming on the show, and I look forward to seeing the work at the gallery next week.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.